in a neighborhood near you. A woman was out one day walking her dog. And she was out one day walking her dog like she always does, enjoying the beautiful day and getting some exercise for herself and the dog. And this particular day, she stopped in front of a neighbor's yard, and the dog did what dogs will do. Except on this particular day, the homeowner took issue with it and came out and confronted the woman, and it wasn't pretty. It was a downright ugly confrontation. And apparently this anger and resentment had been building for some time, unbeknownst to the woman walking her dog. It was a complete shock to her. She had no idea this was coming. And in an instant, the relationship was changed forever. Not that they were ever close, but they were neighbors. They always greeted one another. They always waved hello. Now there was an uncomfortableness and an awkwardness between them. And an uncomfortableness and an awkwardness in the neighborhood. There was a stain on the rug of community. Neighbors who once waved at each other and exchanged cordial greetings now no longer spoke. They wouldn't even look at one another. In another neighborhood near you, a beautiful magnolia tree grew in the backyard. It provided beautiful, big, white blossoms in the late spring and early summer, and provided nice and lovely shade throughout the summer. It was a beautiful tree. It did drop some leaves from time to time. It did drop some seed pods from time to time. I suppose that the only problem with the tree was that some of its branches reached over the fence and into the neighbor's yard, which presumably was only a problem because the neighbor would occasionally have to pick up leaves and seed pods. No big deal, right? Except that it was. It became a big deal. And the neighbor said something. The owner of the tree just blew it off. Well, that's what trees do. Trees drop leaves from time to time. No big deal. Just let it go. But then one day, while the owner of the magnolia tree was at work, the neighbor grabbed his chainsaw and his ladder, and he marched outside, and he trimmed up the tree all the branches that were on his side of the yard. The tree was butchered. Beautiful on the one side, completely shaved on the other side. It looked ridiculous. And when the owner of the magnolia tree came home, he was furious. Soon another unfriendly confrontation ensued, and once again the end result was the same. Neighbors that once spoke to one another, neighbors that once waved at each other, now no longer even looked at each other, and there was this tension between them. Well, perhaps you've had or have heard of neighbors getting into this kind of a situation. Hopefully not, but this is the world that we live in, and it happens sometimes in a stressful situation. Sometimes tensions boil over. And in each case, a breakdown of community has occurred. A breakdown of the human family. One more story I'll share in another community near you. Neighbors got in a fight over a pit bull, and it was a nasty argument, and physical threats were exchanged, and the police had to get involved, and now there is an 8-foot-high fence between them that separates them so that they can't even see each other if they wanted to. They say that good fences make good neighbors. That may be true, but even so, it's not the ideal. Certainly not the idea of a good, healthy, friendly, working relationship. Instead, it's a sign that something has gone wrong. Something is broken in our world. In Belfast, Northern Ireland, it's a giant fence that separates the Catholics from the Protestants. It's less of a fence and more of a barricade. And over the years, it's just kept getting higher and higher and higher. Today, it's probably 30 feet high with razor wire around the top. Well, if you have to live in a community with 30-foot high fences and razor wire around the top, that is a sign that you're living in a place where a breakdown of community has taken place. Fences keep the bad things out, yes, but fences keep the good things out as well. Friendship, warmth, light, and love. The sacredness of community. The sacredness of neighborhood. The sacredness of human family that binds us all together. The sacredness that we feel right here in this room that binds us all together as family. Tall fences cast shadows over us. The Bible teaches us that we weren't created in isolation. We were created together. We were created as a community in sacred communion with one another. Community is at the heart of creation. In Genesis, we learn that God created Adam. In Hebrew, Adam, which in Hebrew is not a personal name. It means people. In general, when God created Adam, when God created Adam, God created all people, all humankind. Genesis 1:27. So God created Adam, all people, all humankind, in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, God created them. This was the beginning of people. And more specifically to our faith conversation, this is the beginning of a sacred community called the people of God. A community of people set apart from God, for God, set apart from the rest of the world, called by God for a purpose, called by God to be holy, not for holiness' sake, but for love's sake. Called by God to be saved, called by God to serve a hurting world, called by God to come together to love one another and serve one another as sisters, brothers, neighbors, and friends. This was who we were created to be. In time, this sacred community was given a name, Israel. And they experienced things together. They went to Egypt together. They suffered in Egypt together. They were delivered from Egypt together. They wandered around the wilderness together. They came into the promised land together. In time, they became we. They became who we are sitting here today. We are the sacred community of God. We are the sacred family. Our individual lives are blessed and sacred and wonderful, but even more so, the sacred community of all of us together. Just one more thing that sets us apart from the rest of the world. So we became the church. And the church is God's sacred community. In Jesus Christ, God called us to love one another and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus didn't start that idea, by the way. That was in the Old Testament, but it never seemed to be manifested quite right. So Jesus came to make it explicit and to seal it and to show us the way through his life and teachings. And his followers were called to live in this sacred community that they might be also set apart from the world. And their distinctiveness was love. Their distinctiveness was love for God and love for one another. Striving to love is who we are and what sets us apart from the rest of the world. In places throughout the New Testament, you will find lists of scripture that provide explanations and details and instructions on how to be and how to live as sacred community. Romans 12, that Jory just read for us, is one of those passages. Even though it was written by the Apostle Paul, you can clearly see and experience and feel the presence of Christ throughout. It speaks of hope beyond all hopelessness. It speaks of perseverance through suffering in our lives. It speaks of hospitality and charity. It speaks of living in harmony with one another. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of not taking vengeance into our own hands, but turning it over to God. And all those nasty things that are associated with it, handed over to God. Our anger, our hatred, our need to punish, our need to correct, our need to be right all the time, our need to control. Give it to God. And therein lies the challenge. Because God is asking us to do what is sometimes not in our nature to do. And in certain moments in our lives, God is asking us to step beyond ourselves and into this sacred community so that we can be better than who we are when we're at our worst. When you look around at the world, there are signs that there is a massive breakdown of community. A massive breakdown of the human family. One of the signs of that, or one of the symptoms of that, is the dividing up of teams, the taking of sides, and we all do it. Well, you go over here, and you go over here, because we're no longer together. We can't stand together on this. Okay, you go that way, I'll go this way. You might have been doing it even in my opening examples on neighborhood. Well, the man had every right to yell at the woman. The dog shouldn't have been doing his thing in his yard. You know, he's got a right to do. Well, yes, but that's not the way to say something, and dogs have to walk, you know, and dogs, we can't really control where dogs are going to go all the time. Well, that man had every right to cut the branches off the tree. After all, it was his yard. He can do whatever he wants with his yard. That's his right. Well, yes, it's of course it's his right, but wasn't that a little drastic? Wasn't there another way? Couldn't grown adults come together and come to some kind of a logical solution and work that out? Couldn't the neighbor who have owned the tree gone over there and raked up leaves for him? And the neighbor who owned the house, couldn't he have maybe had a little barbecue and they got together and they were friends and they worked it out with all this drastic stuff? Isn't there a better way? Yes, there's always a better way. There is always a better way. And the better way is the way of Christ. But too often that gets lost in the shuffle and the busyness and the anger and the jealousy and the resentment and the power trips and the bitterness and the competition and perceptions of unfairness and perceptions that we've been wronged and all of the things that seep into the cracks and expand the brokenness of our human condition. They're all the marks of a broken human family. So yes, we definitely take sides, and there's nothing intrinsically wrong with taking sides as long as the person on the other side of the fence doesn't stop being human to us. Because that person on the other side of the fence, no matter how obnoxious, no matter how annoying, no matter how difficult to live with, is a child of God. And worthy of all of the sacredness that we experience within this sacred community. And sometimes they're hard to love. Sometimes children of God are hard to love. But honest and loving conversations are had when the walls come down. Honest and loving conversations are had when the fences come down. Honest and loving conversations are had when we reach across the fence in friendship and love. Honest and loving conversations are had when we strive to love. Honest and loving conversations are had when we work at them, when we put a little effort into them. Sometimes Christianity takes work. Oh, I wish it wasn't hard sometimes. I wish it was always easy, but it's not always easy. Sometimes it takes hard work, but it's worth the work. Otherwise, we just stick in this stalemate and resent one another, or go our separate ways and never speak to anyone, and our future will look increasingly more and more like this. We, the people, full of mistrust, misunderstanding for one another. So how do we live in sacred community? Beloved, never avenge yourselves, But leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If your enemies are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Whatever is broken in our nation, whatever is broken in our world, whatever is broken in our lives is not beyond the saving love of Jesus Christ. It's not. It all can be saved. It all can be redeemed. And when we love as Jesus loves, we become part of the healing. No longer part of the brokenness. May it be so. So be it. Amen.